Shabbat Shalom to all my brothers and sisters spread throughout the four corners of this plane. Most High be praised. You are tuned into Blueprint for Life, the Israelite way of life during this time of the awakening. A term that's been hijacked by many, but only reserved for a few, which are the true family and children of Yah, the Most High God, the Hebrew Israelites. There's no name of a crayon that goes in front of that, because there's only one people that's known as a family in all the earth. Shout out to those that are grafted in, that sojourn with us in this walk, and that keep these statutes, laws, and holy commandments, and most importantly, this Sabbath, which is a sign between us and the Most High. All praises. Before we go any further, let's go before our Abba in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, I pray that your people will receive divine revelation, exhortation, encouragement, and faith be increased by the words of the prophets who desire to teach on today. And open your scrolls and your holy Torah and read from your laws and put your people in remembrance of your word. We rebuke the hand of the enemy that's putting pressure on these people to succumb to the solution the world offers, or I should say its initiation, into what they've got going. Many are getting weak in the faith and fearing. I rebuke that fear in the name of Yeshua. We come against every foul spirit of depression, oppression, and suicide. Father, we need the oil of joy to anoint us for all this mourning of the people who are passing away. And we know many more things will come upon this earth, Father, but we know by your help, your support, your love, your Holy Spirit, your Ruach, your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, that we can walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. We will not fear any evil. Thank you for the table that is prepared before us, and we will eat and feast on your word, your holy word, in the midst of chaotic times. Give my people throughout the four corners of the earth the ability to not look on the things that they see, pay no attention to what they hear, but to set their affections on things above and to stay before you in prayer. Thank you for the deliverance of the believers, bringing the remnant through, covering their children who are misled by the ways of this world, its music, its enchantments, and help them to be able to stand when they're re-understanding what the meaning of family is, to be able to get through this. Because you said those that do your will are all one family, united under you. Let the lights continue to shine in the midst of this darkness. Pray that we're counted worthy to be part of the remnant. We love you so much, Abba Father, and be not far from us. Thank you for mercy and grace. Cast us not away from your presence. Renew a right spirit within us. Restore the joy of our salvation. We thank you that before we were formed in our mother's bellies, you knew us, called us to a task and assignment. And I pray that we complete it. Joy and pleasing in your sight. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah.
Yeah. knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my
name. Yes, the Most High knows us by name before the foundations of the earth even established. I'm the preacher. You're tuned into this particular Blueprint for Life on 2/12/22. And we truly love him as we're still here, we're still pushing. We're expressing patience as we wait on our Abba by keeping his statutes, laws, and holy commandments. By keeping the commandments that were never done away with, that the Christian church lied to you for years and told you, you don't have to live by that, just confess his name. And then go do whatever the heck you want to do with your life. Just make sure you're here on Sunday and pay your 10%. Well, we found out that was a lie, and that's not keeping and helping people right now who are making bad medical decisions because they had no faith. They had a name it and claim it religion and belief system that means nothing right now because many are being forced to do things with this new technology, and they're becoming compliant to the trickery and deception. And you're being turned over to strong delusion and the deception. The technology is in the medical solution. They worked for years on how to deceive you because they knew you thought it was coming one way and it came another way. It's the shell game. You never pick the right shell. Coin or whatever it is under. So bait and switch. And so that's what's being done to you right now. The word that I was trying to think of about a week ago or 2 weeks ago was vicissitudes. And it's one of my favorite words, but it's not a favorable word or a word that's really liked because the word vicissitudes means unexpected changes. And now we're deep in the midst of that where every week something new is happening that changes and alters your reality and your world. The only thing that can take you through and prepare you for unexpected changes is the fact that we serve a God, the Most High, who lives outside of time and knows when he's going to do what he's going to do. You have to be connected to him in order to have peace to deal with unexpected changes. You have to be prepared for anything now. When you're not prepared for anything, you will have heart attacks and strokes and fear and anxiety and overweight, diabetes, depression. You will wrestle with these demons, these spirits. It will come on you because too many things are being, there's a barrage of things that are coming at you. And Satan is trying to keep you separated, even with the stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask, because there's a connectivity when people come together and share love because true love is of Yah. But that's been taken away from you. And it's imperative that you have assistance in life. And Christ, when he died, said, I'm going to leave so that I'm no longer just with you, but I can be in you. For when I do leave, I will send a comforter that will lead you and guide you into all truth. This is why many don't have the truth, understand the truth, or can see the truth, because they don't have a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Ghost that the church taught you, which was actually the spirit, the demon of Bacchus. People were transferring spirits on each other. The true Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh, when it comes on you, you exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And I saw too much in my days in Christian church of people rolling in the ground, covering them up with blankets, foaming at the mouth, speaking a strange language, shouting up and down, come outside the church, ready to fight, and getting out of the church van and going to sleep with each other in the same house, and then see you Sunday. But that's not indicative of the fruits of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, how it would operate, because it changes you from within. The Holy Spirit acts as a fire that singes everything that's not like Yah. You begin to lose your appetite for sinful behavior, fornication, lust. The Holy Spirit comes in and takes away the taste and craving for it's excessive alcohol and drugs and lust. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hebrews tells us, and Thessalonians, that you become regenerated, meaning redeemed. You are transformed and changed. And when the process is complete, you become converted, because of Psalms 19 and 7, saying that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise and simple. When you become obedient and keep his commandments, as he said we must do, in Deuteronomy 28, in order to reap the benefits of life, then the Holy Spirit, Acts 5, comes upon you. He gives his spirit to those who are obedient. And the spirit is what converts you, transforms you, to have the strength and power to change your life and keep the laws. Thou shalt not murder. Honor thy parents. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And just think about that scripture real quick. Remember the Sabbath day. Why does he say that? Because you've forgotten the Sabbath day and called it Sunday. Sunday church. He said, no, remember. Go back and remember it, the day that it's on. After my 6 days of creation, on the seventh day, I rested. Bearing false witness, that's the gossiping. This whole world is given to gossip. There's so many, I think there's over 100, 200 gossip television shows on to keep you in that lower frequency, that state of mind of breaking the commandments, which everything is designed to get you to do. Idolatry. Everybody's stuck in idolatry in this world because they idolize a better life and money and wealth and fame and success, or other people, or dating. Covetous. Everybody wants what they see on TV or what somebody else has. Murder. Wholesale. People don't give 2 cents about somebody else's life. Children. Now, because of liberality and LGBTQ, LMNOP, they think they're winning. And then they've lumped civil rights into LGBTQ. They're like, okay, we got the power now. Oh, yeah, don't forget about the black man, black woman, what they've been through. But it's all about us having the power now. We got the power. We march with them. Civil rights is for us. We let them do the dirty work, do the marching, get bit by German shepherds, get stoned, and put burning crosses on their lawn. And now we get to reap the benefits. And by the way, that was a black man president that put that law through, gave for gay marriage. So nonetheless, these statutes, laws, and commandments are what helps you to become kodesh, set apart, and sanctified. And what do I mean by that? If I'm going to identify with a group or culture of people, I have to adhere to their customs and their law to become a citizen of that kingdom. As a matter of fact, there are tests. The Office of Naturalization and Immigration. If you're going to migrate over here to be an Israelite, catch your mind. I'm not talking about the programming you have. As soon as you hear that word, you think about something you saw on YouTube. No. Look in your Bible. That word Israelite is mentioned more than Christianity is not in the Bible. Christian is in the Bible 3 times. Israelite is in there probably over 200 and something times referenced. The moment I began to change my dietary law, which was not done away with Peter's vision, the moment I began to change my dress code, and I don't, as a woman, I don't dress like these women in the world dress, which is really bringing the strip club to the streets, and I don't dress like these men, and I don't walk effeminate, I don't walk like a butch, I am what he created me to be, and I will wear those things pertaining to what he created me to be. I will eat the things that he said are clean and that are blessed, and not the things that this world calls a delicacy, Satan, that aren't good for me, that causes me to have elevated cholesterol levels, high blood pressure, lupus disease, sugar diabetes, go blind early, lose a limb. Why do I want to feast on that? These things don't even minister to my body. I will seek out the better things from this earth and avoid GMOs and do these things. You've got to put some work into living holy and righteous, kodesh, set apart. But the joy and pleasure is that you have a guided life. You have a navigation system, a GPS system, and you also have a protection mechanism, a force all around you, if you will. And that's called Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit that will dwell in you, give you the confidence and peace to navigate this terrain. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I don't know how you're going to make it through everything that they have planned for you, the vicissitudes that they are secretly unloading on you, in getting ready to implode the economy, eventually wanting to shut down the internet to take all your information until they can control it and you can't get on the internet unless you have had the solution. Many things that are in store for you, but I'm not here today to offer fear. We're here to talk about how we can navigate in the spirit of love and forgiveness. I'm working on myself. I don't need to have relationships that reflect of old just to revisit the old when I'm trying to press forth. So let me say it the way Apostle Paul said it. I count not myself to have apprehended, meaning I don't think I'm all that. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, that's relationships, failed marriages, mistakes that you made, people that you're trying to drag into your future with you that don't even fit or belong because they keep you relegated to a negative past and a low frequency and they don't love Yah and you can't make them love Yah. But we so insistent on dragging our past into our present and our future. I call it spring cleaning, and it happens every day with me. Because Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark that I might obtain my prize, which is the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. So you see what that requires? A breaking away of holding on to things. That is a spirit that can bring depression, blatancy, nonchalantness, where you just really don't care. And this complacency is what turns you over to strong delusion that we spoke of in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because you don't want to hear the truth. Boys to Men said it best. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Woo! What a line. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. But Paul, again, forgetting those things which are behind me, this one thing I do. First I must forget, and then I must press toward the mark. You can get yourself in a state of guilt and like, I should have never did that, by constantly revisiting your past. Let that go. Where do you stand today? So where you stand today, I say, give him praise, give him glory, give him honor, give him worship, give him due accolades, love on somebody, help somebody today, bless somebody today, bless somebody tomorrow. Just keep living. Because he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. Let's get into the scriptures. Broadcast is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, definitely destined to design to bring back a people to their culture and understand, because when you come back to your culture and customs, you come back to your God and what he really requires of you, not Christianity, not religion. So these things are very important. Today, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about walking in love, because it's tough to forgive people and love on them when they're constantly stabbing you in the back and got another knife behind their back, ready to put another knife in your back. This is the world we live in, because the love of many has waxed cold. So let's just do a little treatise, a little reading of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and Ephesians, the fifth chapter, let's see, first verse, and we'll probably go through the first 20 verses, and that's it for today. So I want you to enjoy this beautiful day. My heart really goes out to all those who've lost loved ones. I understand as well. So if you believe these scriptures, you know that eventually we'll all meet again. People never leave. Their body goes into the dust which it came from. If they did come from the dust, spirit is sleeping, and that energy never does die. That frequency, that spirit of that person, that soul, it still exists. And when we get to the judgment, we'll see these people again when Christ returns, and he will decide what reward everyone will receive. You that are alive, you still have a chance to increase the amount of rewards that you will receive. According to Matthew 6, what you do, do it in silence. Do it in peace. Nobody's got to know. You don't need a humanitarian award where you need to stand up before 1,000 and be like, I'd like to thank you for this award. I truly did. You don't. Your reward comes when Yeshua comes back. So be mindful, folks. Stop worrying about what they're saying about food shortage. Find who got a shortage of food. Take them some food. Find out. Go into the community that you live in, to your neighbors, the ones who really love Yah. I'm not going to strengthen the hands of the wicked. If you're a murderer and you're starving, I'm going to tell you, you need to repent before I'm trying to feed you to go kill more people. And that's just an analogy that I'm using. It was a guy who ran up to me the other day and said, hey, man, could you spare some money? And he had a fat crack in his hand blowing smoke in my face dang there. And I said, not as long as you have that crack pipe in your hand. I might as well be smoking it with you if I give you $5. That doesn't make any sense. Why would I strengthen something like that? Because the next hit he takes, he probably want to rob someone or kill someone. Not in a repentant mind state and it possessed by demons. Before I read the fifth chapter and first verse of Ephesians, look at Ephesians 4 and 32, the verse right before it. It said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yah, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is the main reason you're doing it, because the only reason you're standing here today is because he decided to have mercy on you, because you're not great. You're not all that. Just like Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul had a lot of accomplishments. This man was off the chain as far as his accomplishments with his learning and his knowledge and his education and his status. But he was also a murderer. He was killing Israelites. But that murder was giving him notches on his belt where people feared him. So he went through a lot of processes in life. So listen, the main reason we have to forgive is because, like, yeah, I don't even deserve to be here, but he chose to forgive me for what I did. And if you're going to go back in your past yesterday, let it be to say, wow, how did I make it? How did I survive? And he didn't have to do what he did. Let's hit 5:1. Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High for a sweet-smelling Savior. He became a flesh sacrifice that we would no longer have to offer up sacrifices to our Father. He sent his Son to be a sacrifice once and for all. So that is the law that's done away with, which is the law of sacrifice, show sin and sacrifice. We no longer have to stone people to death, kill them, or sacrifice animals to boldly go before the throne and to reach him. We can make our petitions known because of what he's done. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So you don't just become a saint overnight. The conversion is a process, as I keep saying all the time. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, told Peter, I prayed for you. Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that you'll overcome what he's got planned for you, because you're going to deny me. And many of you are denying Christ right now. He said, but I pray for you. He said, but, and then he said, go out, you know, while you're in the wilderness hiding and licking your wounds. After your conversion is complete, come back and convert the brothers. And so he came back and went into the upper room, received the inner power workings of the Holy Spirit. And once he received the Holy Spirit, he became bold as I don't know what, and began to preach. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He was no longer denying Christ or ashamed of him. He was ready and willing to die for him. So we are becoming saints. mentioned in Psalms 148, but he also said, make sure that these things are not labeled on you. You can't be working on becoming a saint and still be a fornicator. You can't be unclean, eating unclean foods, living an unclean lifestyle, and you can't be wanting things that the Christian church taught you would name it and claim it. Home, be named amongst you. We had a whole Christian culture that taught this for years. Verse 4, neither filthiness. So you all know what that means. That's self-explanatory. The way you dress, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you think, your lustful ways. Well, it goes into it in verse 4. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. I don't have to break these down. Nor jesting. Joking all the time. Which are not convenient, but rather give of thanks. Christ, the apostles making it clear that these things aren't convenient. We ought to be ones that are thankful for people, what they give, their life, their conversation. People should want to be around you if the Spirit of Christ is actually operating inside of you, and you should have a spirit of gratitude. Verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So who's not going? You who are constantly sleeping around and on all the hookup sites, match.com, you can't overcome your flesh. Flesh is itching. You will not be going into the kingdom. Unclean person, that's one who's an abominable person. And he said that homosexuality is an abomination. He said eating unclean foods is an abomination. And then the one who's always lusting after things and idolaters. You can turn a lot of things into an idol: food, TV, children, car, home, money. None of these things will come into the kingdom. So you've got to be cleansed and sanctified as becoming saints that are being converted. Verse 7 says, back to verse 6, let no man deceive you. How will they deceive us? Let's continue reading. Let no man deceive you with vain words, puffing you up, complimenting you, breaking you down. Why is it that y'all expose yourself to people when you let them come through the back door of complimenting you and praising you for your status or what you have or what you've acquired? Or they're setting you up, and demons use other people who are available to Satan to attack your life and your peace. So 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yah upon the children of disobedience. You allowed your head to get puffed up. Check yourself if you're constantly wondering how you're perceived, what people think of you, how you look, what's going on. We're taking a line of humility. We don't need to be in the forefront. People start talking about you, it's like, I'm not even trying to hear that. Sometimes people may take it a certain kind of way that you don't respond when they say you look nice or you look this way, that. I'm not even trying to hear that. My spirit is closed off to that. I can really care less about what I'm going to be presentable. Like he said, when you fast, wash your face. Don't let it look like you're fasting to other people. So we keep ourselves clean, not filthy, and we make sure we're presentable. But we don't sit up in here and start dialing up and making sure everything is every day to where we, because we want to be perceived. You're setting yourself up for the failure of verse 6, which is said, let no man deceive you with vain words, because people will puff you up. They're called yes men, yes women, who are out to get you and destroy you because they want what you have. And that's more covetousness. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. He said, don't even partake with the children of disobedience that want to disobey Yah. So I'm giving you for the last few weeks a lot of different reasons to cut a lot of people off. Because he said in some verses not to have lunch with certain people, not to, hang out with certain people. This one's getting more deeper into it. we allow ourselves to have too much fun sometimes as believers in Yahweh. He wants you to separate and segregate from certain people for your safety. So listen to what he's saying. He said in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Know that you're shining. Shine bright like a diamond. Know that you're shining because of Yah. He's living inside of you. Why? Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, this is a key scripture right here, verse 11, I want you to understand. And I'm glad I'm catching you right before the Super Bowl with this scripture. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So my job and assignment is to Isaiah 58. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions and their sins. I'm not here to kick it with you. Don't call me to ask me, are you watching the game? Where you watching the game? Can we come through? Y'all want to come through? What I look like reveling with you with the biggest seance in the world taking place, watching this seance with you. Now, some people are going to watch it because some of the prophets and YouTubers, truthers watch it and they break it down and give you a breakdown on the next day, you know, of all the satanic things that were transpiring. If you're going to watch it, a lot of you are not at that level, but you need to be covered with the Spirit and protect yourself. I have no interest in the game per se, but I'm always curious to see what propaganda is being disseminated amongst the people, even with the commercials that's lowering their IQ even more into the depths of hell. But back to you believers. Once again, the apostle saying, have no fellowship. That means you can't kick it, hang out, what you doing, with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's no fruit, but rather reprove them. So this lets you know it's talking about a person. Reprove, rebuke the works of darkness, which we just talked about, fornication, uncleanliness, darkness, abominations. These people aren't inheriting the kingdom, and we must cry out loud and let them know that they're not inheriting the kingdom. So we have to separate ourselves in order to be Kodesh. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I need you to hear that again. We shouldn't even be talking about what they do in their private time. It's not for us to even discuss. It's for us to shake the dust. Verse 13, here's why you must rebuke, and because you're going to say, I told you so. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So he's saying here that the things that you're rebuking that they're doing in the dark, don't worry. The light is going to reveal it. You're telling them and you will reveal it. And it will come out when you have given them clear warning. Verse 14, wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So the duty and the onus is on you to wake up and absorb the truth that you've been hearing, sinner man. And stop staying asleep, saying, I don't want to hear it. I'm not trying to hear it, and I can't believe it. Or you're off or trying to kill the messenger who has the message and attack his character, especially based on his past, so that you don't have to be obedient to the message. You're not going to be able to stand up before Yah about that because you want to criticize a person who brought you the truth and say, I couldn't listen to him. Come on, he was like that. Y'all's going to be like, I forgave that person for that. You're trying to relegate them to their past when I delivered them from the past, which is why I gave them the truth and gave it to them to give to you, but you wanted to judge them based on they no longer partook in. So your job is to wake up because you're asleep and rise from the dead because the way you're going to die. Keep the commandments and live, and Christ shall give you light. So you see, to my people, brothers and sisters, how it says we're not even to be kicking it with them. And you got people that you're dwelling with in your camps that you're not even supposed to be with, because you don't even know that they're living a fornication lifestyle, adultery, covetous. They got secret sins that they're hiding. That's why the Christian church started this mess. We don't need to be praying in circles. Everybody grab hands and we all in a circle. I don't know what the heck he was doing with them hands last night. What am I? When he said, lay hands on no man suddenly. I'm not coming into agreement with you when you're in a sinful lifestyle, so I rebuke that in the name of Yeshua. Verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspect, that means keep it as sharp, watching, and aware, awoke. Don't walk as a fool, but be wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. That is right now. Take full advantage of the time you lost. Fix as much as you can. 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that is what Solomon said at the end of the day in Ecclesiastes 12. He said, I've had everything, riches, women, good drink, good food. He said, I found out everything life has to offer at the end of the day. You can do nothing. You can learn, read all the books in the world, but you must fear God and keep his commandments at the end of the day. Because you're so relegated to this life, when this life as we know it must end and be purged in order to enter into a millennial kingdom and a new world. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine where is in excess. I don't know why many people always miss that, because people have a fear of alcoholism, drunkenness, and belligerent people. But he never had a problem with wine. Christian church needs to hire a new public relations expert so that they can stop this shunning wine. He said we're not to be excessive with drinking wine so that it doesn't replace the Holy Spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You can look that up in the Greek in Strong's number 810. But be filled with the Spirit, the Ruach. 19, speak to yourselves. All of us in psalms, we should be singing, encouraging each other, hymns. We should be writing songs, spiritual songs. I love what Brother Jacob and them doing over there. They got so many people doing songs and mostly rap, though. I like jazz, but we need to be constantly writing, singing, humming in our hearts before the Lord during these times so that we'll have some sense of praise and joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength during these times of vicissitudes, unexpected changes. The apostle said in verse 20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Yeshua. Always for things unto the Most High, our Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Verse 11 again, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In the spirit of love. That's the key. You're doing it because you love. And some of us can get angry with these people, and in our minds, wish judgment on them. Be like, all right, whatever, go to hell. We can't do that. The Most High stalling is coming to give a lot of people a chance. And to let that last soul that he's sending into the earth come and deliver its purpose here in the earth. And when the time of the Gentiles close out. But he's trying to have mercy on his remnant, on his people, so that they'll all come in as well. So don't be that way. If you've warned them once, you've warned them once. You pray for them and you love on them. And that's all you can do. And try not to let bitterness and anxiety and hatred be in your heart. Walk in wisdom. Calmness of speech. We were warned about that. No unclean, no, verse 4 said, no filthiness, foolish talking, always jesting around, telling jokes. None of this is convenient. Rather give thanks, which is a recurring theme as well. So we give all praise to the Most High. Thank you for tuning in today. This has been V the Preacher, and getting ready to sign out with by saying, The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is not a destination, it's a journey, and we will ever keep on learning. And let me say this before I leave the broadcast today. Don't be double-minded. Stop vacillating. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Stand firm. That's faith. You make a decision. You stand on it. Depend on Yah and trust him. Stay in the word of Yah. It's the time of awakening, but we must cleave to him. And I pray that your joy will be full. In the name of Yeshua. Shabbat shalom. Kwam Yasha Allah. Till next time.